Welcome back into Sports Call, Tiger 95.9 FM and on the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson inside the studio with Tom Peavy and Ryan Lavoie. Fun show so far. We're halfway done, and let's keep the fun going here on this Monday. Still to come, we've got best and worst of the weekend. We've got a nightly TV guide brought to you by our friends over at Coca-Cola. But now, once again, covering the bases with Eric McDade, State Farm, my brother, back inside our studio. Been a month since you've been here, and yes, boy, we're thrilled to have you back. How are you?
Glad to be here, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We've got a lot of things to discuss. Last time we kind of jumped all over the place, and I would imagine for your takes in the sports world, we're going to go all over the place. I don't want to start here, but I know that it needs to be brought up. The last time that you were in the studio, we talked about the best rivalries in sports. It's the week leading up to the Final Four between your North Carolina Tar Heels and my Duke Blue Devils. You told me what was going to happen. I didn't want to believe it. I'm not kidding. As a North Carolina resident, as someone who, a native, I should say, as someone who grew up and the day after North Carolina would beat Duke at school, you just didn't want to show your face. And yet I was still so angsty that I was still going to wear Duke gear regardless of the result and throw it back in your face no matter what. I've still got those people in my life, right? So I've got a lot of people that reach out to me once those games go final, regardless of the outcome. And somehow, some way, you were still the first guy to hit me up that night. I don't know what. I was like, oh my gosh, Eric got to me real quick when that game was over.
Really, hey, look, I was trying to beat everybody, JJ.
And, like, let's do – so, obviously, we know the result. We know that, okay, a couple nights later, Kansas has the largest comeback in national championship game history, right, which is not as fun for you. So looking at Ryan Lavoie, the Tar Heel as well in the mix. But what's forgotten – that was, like, the best game ever. The Duke of North Carolina. 20 lead changes in a Final Four game. That was just unbelievable. And all the stage, the stakes at hand, Coach K's final game. And it was like, I mean, I was nervous the entire time. I couldn't breathe. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. It's back and forth it goes.
Yeah. Definitely a classic, man. We'll be talking about that game forever, you know.
Yeah, and you know, even with the fact that it was Carolina Duke, as you alluded to, JJ, it's like you take the teams away, you still have a heck of a basketball game because of all the lead changes. It comes down to the last 30 seconds or so. But when you throw in, it's the first time that that rivalry has ever happened in the NCAA tournament. It happens in the Final Four. It happens with a coach that his resume can, like, that game can't really ever be duplicated because the coach can't really be duplicated in that scenario either. Like, when are you going to have someone that's arguably the greatest of all time, is certainly in that Mount Rushmore, be retiring after his next loss, and then the rival North Carolina give that loss to him? So it's like, I'm not trying to shade, but it's just like, at the same time, like, the stakes were, it felt like as great as it could ever be. And for a first time, you know, the way they seed teams, they're not ever going to meet them in the Sweet 16. It's going to have to be until the Final Four or the National Championship game. So if it ever does happen again, it will be on a similar stage. But even then, it's like, will there be a Hall of Fame coach retiring if they lose? Yeah. You know, so, I mean, like, that was a once-in-a-lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that would have made it greater would have been if it was the National Championship game.
Right. I would have been sick for the rest of eternity, probably.
He was a good sport. He did FaceTime me a little later.
Okay.
Let it sit for about an hour.
Took a little
FaceTime.
Time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was heartbroken. There was the foul trouble early in that game for Mark Williams, our big man on the inside, and then Theo John has four fouls in the first half. Neither team is really pulling off to a big lead. Now Carolina's going to bring back four of their five starters, and Duke is losing six guys to the NBA.
Yeah, Carolina's got a good recruiting class coming in.
Yeah. Duke has the number one recruiting class coming in.
Always do.
We know that.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be as experienced as this North Carolina team. That's got to be the preseason favorites going into it next year.
I would think so.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing with Carolina. I saw that they've already used all their scholarships now with Love coming back, and I think they got three freshmen in. They just didn't lose a lot of players, and obviously when you have roster turnover like Duke, look, you always have talent coming in and coming out, but nevertheless, there's always spots to fill. And looking at the age of the portal, something Kentucky's been doing. Kentucky had a lot of success with the portal last year. We always talked about their one and dones, but Chibwe and Kellen Grady coming out of the portal, Sevier Wheeler. I mean, most of their productivity came out of the portal, which is kind of rare. So there's so many ways to build great talent if you're these top programs.
All right, Eric McDade's here with us. We're covering the bases, talking about all the big stories in sports with him on the program. You said, look, I got to find an outlet to get all my takes out there. So we're providing this outlet for you. And with that comes a little bit of backlash from yours truly. I got to be the antagonist in this scenario. Have you been following some of the NBA playoffs?
I watched almost every game.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
NBA is my
thing.
Tell
me where you're at right now. Like, what hot takes do you have, if anything? Who looks good to you? Like, if we're picking the NBA Finals, knowing that not a single series has gone final, no team has clinched and advanced to the second round, who's coming out of the East and who's coming out of the West?
Warriors looking good, man. I like the Warriors coming out of the West. They experience. They got enough young guys. I'm just not going to bet against Steph Curry right now.
Right.
He's on one.
So you feel pretty good about that one?
I feel good about the Warriors out of the West, especially with Devin Booker being hurt.
Right.
The Suns,
that's the big one.
They tied with the Pelicans right now. Like, they're going to have a hard time getting out of the first round. So I like the Warriors out of the West. My preseason pick to win the whole thing was Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sticking with Milwaukee coming out of the East. I think that'll be a fun finals. I like Giannis, everything he brings to the table. I kind of like the Nets coming into the year, but they're about to get swept.
I thought the series would be more just based off game one alone. Game one
was epic.
Epic of that series. I haven't been able to watch as much as game two and three with some baseball and softball things I've had going on. But, you look at the end of the game and the Celtics won. Now they're up 3-0.
Yeah, man, it's crazy to watch how, Kevin Durant, everybody's crowning him as the best player in the world. And he's been struggling this series.
Yeah.
Man. So it's been bizarre kind of.
If your star players don't play well, you're going to be in a tough spot, I would say the most popular team here in our listening area would be the Atlanta Hawks. And I want to tell them that if your star player, Trae Young, has 9 points in a playoff game, you can't be having that. Yeah,
you got to take the L.
When you have a legend, a top 3 point guard of all time, and Chris Paul have 4 points in a playoff game, you can't have that. And then there have been some of the Durant struggles. Ryan, you want to go Eastern Conference or Western Conference? Like, what's the?
Well, I feel like I always go West because I talk about Golden State all the time. I'll go East.
Okay, go East.
Because that Boston Brooklyn series, it's surprising that it's this easy for Boston. Because I can definitely see Boston winning. They're still a 2 seed. Brooklyn has its problems, especially defensively. But Durant really has not had stretches of time where he can't do what he wants. Usually he's always getting to his spots, that 17 to 13 footer that he gets at the elbows and the corners. He just gets to his spot so well. But the length of Tatum and Brown has been so agitating to him that he's not gotten to create the space to get to those spots. And so he's had a lot of turnovers. We know Brooklyn's not a good defensive team. They made a trade a couple years ago trading Jarrett Allen away, which really hurt their rim production. Drummond's a really good rebounder, but he's not a good shot blocker or rim protector. Kyrie is a great offense player and a horrific defensive player. And it's just when you have good teams like Boston, you're going to go at the other team's weaknesses, and then you're going to make sure that your own weaknesses are alleviated, that you find ways around that. And so Boston doesn't have really any weaknesses defensively, so that's the strong suit. But then offensively, it's like, okay, we're not as consistent in offense. If Tatum's not going right, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go at Kyrie Irving, and we're going to go at their weaker defensive players, which they have a couple of. And so that series, I guess when you look at it, you can definitely see Boston winning it, but still just a disappointment factor that Brooklyn's not living up to it. And then also I want to say about what Philly and Toronto series has been a little interesting to me, because I know Toronto ultimately has forced a 5th game. Great, Denver did the same thing in Golden State. I don't think either one will amount to anything. But Philly has looked really good with Harden still kind of playing meh offensive basketball compared to his standards. They draw so many free throws, and I don't love to look at it this way, but with them more than any other team, they have 2 of the most highest volume free throw shooters in the league with Embiid and Harden. When they get sets of referees, they don't call it. as much, when they will let them play a little bit more. That would be interesting to me. But they, for the most part, have been really good in this series. After a regular season of playing, you know, 15, 20 games with Harden and or 25 games with Harden and Embiid together that were hit or miss, at times they were really good, but down the stretch they failed to get up to the 1-2 seed. You know, so I think they have overall been impressive in this series. And look, they're still, with what Miami has done, I think the East is way more open, whereas I think unless Memphis does something matchup-wise with Golden State, because Memphis has been a problem matchup-wise for Golden State. Golden State's better, but just sometimes there are matchups that you just don't deal with well. Unless Memphis can use those matchups against Golden State, it's Golden State or Phoenix, period. But in the East, anyone that advances to that second round could still get out.
I agree. I mean, you could see any of those four teams, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, or Philly coming out of the East. You know, that could go either way. And a lot of it is going to depend on who's healthy, you know. And but I do like Milwaukee. When you talk about Boston, Jason Tatum, like, he's becoming a superstar. He's outplaying Kevin Durant. You know, that's that leap that they were looking for. And they're gelling at the right time. I heard Kyrie Irving say something in the press conference that they just – you know, he was like, we hadn't had a chance to click all year. And they have, which part of that's your fault, Kyrie. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, no, but. I mean, look, and people want to talk about the way that Kyrie's been playing as of late. A lot of people want to talk about the fact that he's in this fasting period, right? In Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islam calendar, Kyrie is a practicing Muslim. But that hasn't affected his play at all from what I've seen. Like, he's been
He was excellent in game one.
Yeah, 39 points. So,
does it go back to KD then? Is that what it is for you? Or is it just.
It starts and stops with KD.
Yeah.
You know, he's the best player. He's supposed to be the best player on the court. You know, you're not going to win a lot of games when KD's – I think he's shooting 36% for the series. You know, he's – I mean, like you said, 13, 17-footer. Like, that's money in the bank.
Right.
But, you know, he's not even getting shots up. I think he probably only took 10 or 11 shots last game. Like,
right.
It just really took him out of what he does. He turned it over a lot. Boston's got a really good game plan. Like, you got to give them a lot of credit. They really game plan real well against them. And, you know, I mean, Brooklyn just don't have enough outside of those two guys to overcome, you know, one of them struggling. You know, it would be different when they had Harden also.
Sure.
You know, you could kind of depend on somebody else. But, yeah, if just two of them, I mean, if one of them struggles, I mean, they're beatable.
Let's talk about this Ben Simmons situation, too.
Listen, man.
This guy was expected to play in game four. Today we're learning that after going through some work on the court, he is not going to play in game four, and the season could come to a close.
Well, listen, I mean, I can't blame Ben Simmons for that one. I wasn't playing game four either. I mean, we down 3-0.
You don't want your first game.
At this point, you don't want that to be your first game, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of out on the whole Ben Simmons thing.
He hasn't played all year long.
All year. It's always something with this guy, man.
And not even for this team. Like, I would have questioned the validity of him coming back in the middle series anyway, because he's never played with these guys. And, you know, he's like, oh, they're great players. I can play with great players. I know KD. I know Kyrie. It's like, but still, you've not played a single game with those guys at all this season. And also that just inherently means he ain't going to play 30 minutes. Mm. So he's going to help you in a 10 or 12-minute spurt, you know, for the entirety of the game.
When he doesn't shoot.
When he doesn't do anything offensively other than, you know, pass at times. I mean, I just – that was always questionable from the standpoint. They honestly, the whole organization and Ben, put themselves in worse situation by trying to get him to play. He should have never – you know, it's been this popular thing in the league to have these guys that have been injured all year long this year kind of tout that they might come back. Like, Zion might come back. Oh my gosh, he's dunking in warmups. Jamal Murray, will he come back from his ACL, you know, in time to play for the Nuggets? And now with Ben Simmons, is he going to get his mind right? The answer to all these questions is no.
No.
Next year.
All right. Yeah, there's no upside to him playing tonight, I don't think. I mean,
what's the storyline with his money, though, too? I mean, this guy's like getting paid for a full season, and he didn't play.
Here's what I want to know. In the ranks of, would you call Simmons a bust? I mean, as the number one overall pick.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's still an all NBA talent, but yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't say.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard to gauge. I mean, he's. I mean, he hadn't been to the finals. You know, he's been an All-Star a couple times. And this is the thing. So he went one, and Brandon Ingram went two that year. Right. And I was real high on Brandon Ingram.
But I mean Simmons is, I mean, at least here over the last couple of years, I mean, he's kind of been that guy that people.
It's been disappointing. I don't know if that's fair, but he's been disappointing.
Right. He's a guy that gets mocked a lot for his lack of ability to play. I mean, he
just won't shoot.
Right. He gets mocked a lot for not shooting, but then when he does shoot, he can't make shots. And it's like, and now you got this whole thing. There were things questioned about his attitude and everything when he was coming out of LSU. 76ers still took the shot on him as the number one pick. And now here today we're sitting in this situation. So, but you're saying not quite yet bust. You don't want to say bust.
Yeah, because I mean, like, he's done some good things on the court. Right. Like, when I think bust, I think Greg Oden or Anthony Bennett. Play, just falls out of the league. Michael Carter Williams was a top 5 or 6 pick out of Syracuse. It's just useless.
Yeah.
But, you know, with him, he is a great defender, and he can pass, and he can facilitate. His problem is he just will not shoot, and can't shoot. I remember in college when he came with LSU to play here, I was in the student section, and the chant or people were kind of yelling at him in warm-ups, "Have fun in Philly!" And he just laughed and laughed. Well, he ain't laughing now. And so I think it depends on your definition of a bust. Like I said, disappointment, sure, out of number one pick. You want that guy to be a perennial all-star and lead your team, lead your organization, be the best player on a team. So from that standpoint, it's disappointing. But to say bust, like, he's still usable if he can come back next year, get the mind right, get the body right, and still contribute.
Yeah, but you make a good point.
Three-time all-star, one-time all-NBA third team, and a rookie of the year. Yeah. I don't know that you can go bust just yet for him.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen something like this before. What were you going to say, Eric?
I mean, it's a good point that some of the questions they had about when he was coming out. I mean, it's coming. I mean,
it's all showing out now.
He couldn't shoot coming out. You know, he had the attitude issues. And
last year was the Atlanta series, which I still don't know how Atlanta beat Philly in that series, given how well Ben Simmons and Embiid. Yeah, it goes back to him a lot. And there are point blank layups and dunks that all of a sudden Ben Simmons was passing, as opposed to, it's like, okay, is this really
you're
in your 6'8"
head or 9
at this point?
Just
dunk.
Go up. Yeah.
That image of him passing up that dunk when Trae Young was under the basket, that's going to live forever. So.
You can't run away
from
that
one. Trae Young often said one of the three great defenders in the league. Yeah.
great shot blocking. That's Trae Young.
So if Phoenix doesn't get Booker back, No threat from them?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't see it without Booker, man. They really need him. I mean, that's, 25, 26 points a game that you're depending on. Chris Paul is all-time great, but they just don't have enough without him. I actually think I'm going to say the Pelicans are going to win that series, man. I just don't think the Suns can score enough without Booker, so I'm going with them. Memphis got their hands full with Minnesota, too. I mean, I really like Memphis. Ja Morant's my guy, but you know, Minnesota's got a lot of talent. So,
tell me about these protests that have been happening in these in these Minnesota games, because I can't quite seem to figure out what is. And Anthony Edwards had the comments last night, like, please do this at Memphis. Like, all of these events are happening in Minnesota at these games.
So, I think my dad was telling me about this. Mm-hmm. You can be mad at him if he's wrong.
Okay,
but he said it was an animal rights group.
That's right.
That the owner of the Timberwolves owns a big chicken farm or something like that, and had to kill a bunch of chickens because they got disease, and he killed them all, and so that's why they're protesting at only the Minnesota games.
Yeah.
Because of the owner being the owner of some big chicken.
It's like
company.
5 million chickens.
Yeah, yeah, millions of chickens, yeah.
Now, Have you seen these protests, Tom?
Well, now, is this the one where the young lady jumped over the bench and out onto the court and got tackled?
One girl tried to glue herself, which is not going to work, but whatever.
And someone had a chain around their neck, right? And then they
it's over
what
chicken.
What in the world?
Chickens.
I'm just not that passionate.
I did not
about
know.
Chickens.
That's crazy.
I am actually passionate about chicken.
Not in that way.
I was going to say, I'm passionate about eating chicken. I'm kind of hungry for some right now. The girl that jumped on the court the other night, what was amazing is when going back and watching the video, the security guard sitting two chairs over, staring her down, like knew that this girl's about to do something. So I don't know if she...
What are you going to accomplish by running on the court, though? That's what I just don't get.
She had like a referee.
Yeah, it was like a referee.
Oh, okay. Is she going to be a fourth referee that's not noticed? She going to call a foul on the Timberwolves?
I mean, it was just so cool watching that security guard. And I think somebody told me even the security guard was a female. But that's why I'm referring to her. She was sitting there looking at her. And I don't know if she overheard the girl saying something that led her to believe she was going to jump out there. But it was like that security guard.
That was an incredible tackle.
That security guard knew that person was about to do something stupid and was just ready to go.
Look at the Vikings might need another safety
in Minnesota. Yeah. Oh man, I know it started in those play-in games when I did not see the clip of someone trying to glue themselves to the floor, but it happened. I mean, was it what happened? Was it a glue stick? Was it?
I think she just like put. I don't know, like Gorilla Glue all over her hand or something? I have no idea.
And stuck herself to the floor.
And then when they got her up, there was just like this glue on the floor that they had to clean up.
Yeah. But Minnesota's won every game.
So honestly, keep doing it if you want the Timberwolves to win. Yeah.
What is that? Is that series?
2-2.
2-2?
Going back to Memphis.
Okay. Yeah. Luka's back playing for the Mavs.
See, all three West series, aside from the Golden State series, are 2-2.
Okay.
Yep.
And that one's 2-2 as well.
Because Utah won a last second game.
Okay.
Mitchell finally threw a pass to Gobert for a lob and went up one with a few seconds left.
What's the Gobert slander these days? People just upset with the lack of offense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know he's a great rim defender, but when you get him away from the rim, he's really doesn't use his length as well as you think he could.
He's big,
big guy.
He's a huge guy.
He's a good player. I don't think he really fits in Utah. I think that Utah thing is over. If they lose this series, they got to blow that team up. I mean,
that's fair.
The two best players don't get along. It's not gonna work. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think that was a big moment for them to. You know, get the game winner the way they got it the other night. So
how can we save my Lakers? Because LeBron's tweeting over the weekend that he can't. He's promising he's never going to miss the playoffs again, and you know he's saying expletives I can't say on radio, but this isn't fun. I'm a LeBron fan.
All right, yeah, me too. Yeah, well, you know how I feel about. I'm just going to say it. LeBron's the greatest basketball player that has ever.
There we go.
I'm going to just throw that out there.
There we go.
we can argue about that all day, but.
Tom.
Do you believe in a difference?
Strike a nerve.
Do you believe there's a difference in best and greatest?
Yes.
Okay. Because I believe he's the best. I wouldn't say he's the greatest.
I can go with that. But listen, I always said.
Tom, there's no redeeming.
I always said it's 1A. It's 1A and 1B.
Yeah, sure.
It's 1A and 1B.
Yeah, I'm an MJ guy. That's just. Yeah, I mean, that's what I grew up with.
Well, the first Space Jam was better. I mean, we're going to debate that.
I kind of wish he had never done that. But MJ was my guy coming up. That
you wish MJ never did the Space Jam?
Yeah, I don't like that movie.
Wow.
You don't like either side of Space Jam?
I'm not a Space Jam fan.
You don't like the first Space Jam?
No, I'm not a fan.
Oh,
I mean, it was okay, but I mean, it was better than Shazam with Shaq. But, I mean.
We're out of time. We're out of time here in the hour. I'm going to keep Eric McDade with us a little bit longer. Let's take one quick break, and then we'll open up the third and final hour of Sports Call in just a moment. Alongside Ryan LaVoy and Tom Peavy and our buddy Eric McDade from State Farm, you're listening to the Abbey Award-winning Sports Call on WTGZ Tiger 95.9.
Two hours of Sports Call are finished. Don't touch that radio dial. We've got one more hour to go. Whether you're leaving work, cruising around town, or listening on demand, we've still got some fun left for you. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show has been on the air since 1995 and is ready for 60 more minutes of fun. Now, let's get this hour of Sports Call started.
Welcome into the third and final hour of Sports Call here today on Tiger 95.9 FM and on the Tiger Communications app. J.J. Jackson in the host chair with Tom Peavy, Ryan Lavoie, and Eric McDade hanging out with us. We're covering the bases with Eric McDade. State Farm here had a lot of good conversation at the end of the last hour and want to keep it going. Your phone calls are welcome. 334-887-3401 or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. DriveWithEric.com, a State Farm agent in Opelika since 2019. What's on your schedule this week, Eric? Like, what's busy for you this time of year?
Right now, man, trying to talk to a lot of people about their homeowners insurance. If you've paid attention to what's going on, the market for homes right now is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of, you know, the cost of everything is going up. So I'm trying to get a lot of people to just pay attention to their homeowners coverage. Make sure you got enough coverage in case anything happens. So anybody want to give us a call at 334-759-7431. We're happy to look at your homeowner's insurance for you, see if we can help you save money and give you better coverage, hopefully.
We know this has been a topic of conversation as well. We're getting towards the end of the school year, and once school years come to a close, families kind of look at the idea of possibly moving.
That's right.
And so a lot of the housing market gets a little crazy and chaotic. I would imagine that's the same for you, too.
It is, yeah. This is a really, really busy month for us. As people, like you said, I mean, they're buying new homes and things of that nature. So it's a really busy season for us. So just encourage everybody to think about their insurance while
everything is going on. We like to give an update on everything going on locally in the high school sports scene. We, of course, are proud to cover the Beauregard Hornets and the Smith Station Panthers. The Hornets season in baseball, unfortunately, came to a close this past weekend in the playoffs. Smith Station the same with a big series against Central last week. Got softball continuing on throughout the week. And then high school soccer is always proceeding forward. Two games left in the season for your Auburn High Tigers. And Eric, your son, a big-time player for the team. Tell folks a little bit about how their season's going.
It's going well, man. They only lost one game all year.
Sheesh.
So, yeah, ranked number 4 in the state right now in Class 7A. Two more games in the regular season. They're playing number 2 Oak Mountain on Wednesday at home. So that'll be a fun game. Hopefully people come out and check it out, man. Two of the best teams in the state. And then we got our home playoff game next week against Enterprise. So, you know, 4 wins and we get that ring.
Talk to me about watching your son play, right? Because there's something to be said for this is completely different in a stretch because I'm obviously not a father of anyone out there. But we've talked to LeBron before. I could see LeBron and I could see a certain look in his eye where it's like, oh no, like it's about to turn up a little bit. It's about to take it to the next level. Mm. Is there any something similar like that watching your son play? Like, can you tell when okay, this might be a good game or maybe he needs a little talking to?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I spend a lot of time, and I spend every day with him, so yeah. You can kind of tell when he needs
you've
that
seen many
talk,
of his games.
Yeah, I don't have to tell him too much anymore, man. He turns up by himself, you know?
Yeah.
he knows what needs to be done. He's really competitive,
right?
You know? And so he played really well last week. They had a game against Dothan last weekend. Dothan's another really good team that's in our in 7A, and they won 1-0.
Okay.
And then he had the goal that, you know,
look at that,
won it. So he just wanted to go into the game and prove himself. So, you know, I don't have to tell him too much, man. he knows that he's going to hear about it if he don't play well. So, you know, better go out there and focus.
All right, so in the summer, we play City League softball here in town. We're the Thunder Chickens.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We're always in the recruiting process.
Okay.
And I'm not looking for a commitment here, but Tom and Ryan, I'm basically by the end of by the end of the spring here, when the season starts up, I'm trying to recruit Eric McDade to join our team.
Okay.
These guys have to have similar conversations with me before the game gets started because I'm our pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom, Ryan, what are those conversations typically like before a game gets going with me?
Yeah, well, JJ, I know you're going to give about 6 hits in a row, but at the end of that 6th hit, just keep throwing them strikes. One of them will accidentally get to hit one of us, and we'll probably put it away, or we might not. But either way, just keep throwing strikes.
Walks are bad.
Yeah, walks are not good. We can't do anything about that. Let them hit their way 300 feet into the air on instead of walk. So.
Walks are awful, like absolutely terrible.
The defense gets disinterested.
And I had too many of them last year.
You did have them.
Your
walks and homer category, shockingly high for
when we
for
had
slip
good
and
games.
Softball.
When we had good games, I wasn't walking batters. When we didn't play well, I was walking them.
JJ, you walking people in slow pitch?
Yeah, maybe there's something there.
I was like, I'll pitch. I mean, I can get hit just as hard as you, but at least it'll always be a strike.
We also have to remember not to send – well, we don't have Javon Cutler anymore. We got to remember not to send anybody to go retrieve a softball, home run ball from the –
what a day that was.
So, we had Javon Cutler, we sent to go get a home run ball, and he stepped in a large mud puddle and lost his shoe, and it basically ate his shoe. He never found that shoe.
Nope.
To this day.
Yeah. Several people looked.
Down there.
To this day, one of Javon Cutler's shoes is underground somewhere over here outside the fence of one of these softball fields. Like, the ground literally ate his shoe, and we never could find it.
That's insane.
12-game season, what do you think our record was?
6-6, man. Y'all like a 500 crew.
All right. Actually, let me give you more stats on the team. We had, for the first game of the season, 3 former NFL players on our team. Wow, okay. And Corey Grant, Trevon Reed, and
won.
Sammy Coates.
Okay, y'all won.
Okay. Corey only got to play the first week, and then life got busy for him. Trevon was there for about half the season. Sammy was there for about a quarter of the year before he actually had a shoulder injury and couldn't play the rest of the year. I've given you that information. It was a roster, the only roster in the history of the City of Auburn Softball League that had 3 NFL players. What do you think our record was? You want to stick with 6-6? That's probably safe. That's not right. It was way worse than that.
That's embarrassing, guys.
What if I told you that we were 1-11?
That's horrible.
What if I told you that one win was a forfeit?
What if I told you that we're not kidding. We lost every single game.
That's horrible.
There are some dudes that are driving around town that listen to our show. Before we would play games, we would be having a show until 6 and then go down the hill and play. And people from the other team would call into the program, have a little friendly trash talk and that sort of thing. There are teams that have been playing together for like 10 years and just
have
mash
full
the ball.
And everything,
like they,
yeah.
they and it's yeah. like, I don't know how we're supposed to compete. I thought, hey, maybe having NFL players would be okay, but it didn't make a difference.
Yeah, I can't help you guys.
See, that's the thing. It's like
I can't make you guys worse, though. I might.
That's true. There is no way we could be worse. Yeah.
But see, like, we played against – so we had some former NFL talent out there for the times that we had them, but then we were also playing against teams that had former Auburn baseball players, and so it's like, okay, well, it's kind of a different deal. I mean
– Yeah.
Yeah, and Sammy Coates was an All-State baseball player in high school. You know, Trevon
got better.
Listen, Trevon is a great athlete when it comes to football and basketball. His baseball, softball skills maybe leave something to desire. He's still a great athlete, but, you know, it's different. He's a different.
When we got him on base, he was moving.
When he's on base, he was moving. And then the rest of us, it was just, oh, man, you just hope that we made plays. Now, Ryan's great out in the outfield, and we had another dude that was really good in the outfield.
Van.
Man, that
he had an arm. I could field. I made a couple diving catches, almost tore a ligament in the process. But he had an arm. I could not throw. And there was a couple times where if we were near each other and there was a base runner on, I flipped it to him for him to throw.
Yeah.
Softball's harder than it looks.
It is.
It's harder than
Let's take a phone call. 334-887-3401 or toll-free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Joining us now,
Tony from Tuskegee.
Tony has called into the program. What's going on, Tony?
How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I just got a question. That transfer portal, who do y'all think it benefits the most? Or a team just where a player can go play?
Ask that question one more time, Tony. We heard you ask, who does it benefit the most, but what were the two options you gave us?
A winning team or just you know, a player himself where he can go play. But, you know, I'm looking at the situation at Alabama. Before the guy from Louisville transferred.
Terrell, the wide receiver.
Yeah, they said it was over with college football. You know, with that, with the addition of this player, you already got what's the other receiver from Georgia, and you got
the running back, Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech. Yep.
But this guy right here runs 4.2. Which I mean, I don't mean just put your program sold on Alabama, but when with JoJo Early, anybody else in the slot, this other guy they compared to Waddle has the same speed as Waddle, and this guy here running a 4.2. In addition to other guys, Alabama guy, how do you defensively defend a team like that, an offense like that?
All right, we got a couple of questions there from Tony. What you want to say, Eric?
I think the transfer portal, I think it kind of goes both ways. I think it benefits the kids. I mean, it's kind of crazy how many people are in the portal, but I think it benefits the kids. It gives them options. If you're not playing at one school or you think there's a better situation somewhere else, you know, the kids should be able to move and find the situation that's good for them. They're only going to get to play college sports for a few years, so put yourself in the best position to be successful. On the other hand, I think it really – you look at winning teams – like in Alabama, you know, they can add talent without them having to sit out a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you can really, if you're not a good team, you can rebuild your team really quickly. But yeah, you look at Alabama, they can really go in there and add a Jermaine Burton, a Harrell, a Jahmyr Gibbs, to make up for the talent that they're losing. So I think it helps the good teams kind of stay good, you know.
How do you defend Alabama? The last question he had there.
It's going to be tough to defend them, man, especially when you got, Heisman Trophy quarterback back there calling the shots. You know, it's going to be hard to defend them. You just got to – I mean, Alabama's going to be Alabama, but, I mean, they're not unstoppable. You know, we've said the same thing about Alabama for the last 12, 15 years, I guess. But, I mean, they had unstoppable offense last year, and they still didn't get the job done. So,
yeah. I got one other thing. And this guy, Trey Sanders –
running back.
Believe it or not, the running back, I'm looking for him to be in New York in December.
I've seen Heisman odds released, and obviously Bryce Young is right there at the top. C.J. Stroud is the Heisman favorite right now. Here we are in going into May 2022. I've seen Heisman odds for Jahmyr Gibbs. But, yeah, it does kind of feel like a lot of people might have the assumption that the Georgia Tech running back is going to take over that spot from Trey Sanders. Here's the bottom line. Alabama's got options always. Trey Sanders has been there. I think both guys have a really good shot of having a productive year.
Well, when you catch Nick Saban bragging on a particular player, it's something about this player. This probably, I think, the number one running back coming out this year. And he had an injury, then he was in the car wreck. But, this guy was a five-star IMG, but he just never got lucky, to stay on the field for a whole year. But they say he's 100% healthy now.
Yeah, no, I think Alabama's got a lot of talented, skilled players, and any one of them could go off and win the Heisman. We saw Devontae Smith do it at that wide receiver position, so we know their offense is capable of accomplishing great things.
Yeah. But anyway,
good to hear from you, Tony.
Thank you.
All right. That's our buddy Tony from Tuskegee joining us there on the Auburn Bank phone line. They are so loaded. I mean, my word. That they are.
This is not news.
Yeah.
It's been that way just about every year.
And it's still, I honestly, because we're not in football mode yet, I had forgotten about the fact that Jermaine Burton wins a national championship with the University of Georgia and says, you know what? Why defend this title?
I'd like to beat Auburn in a different capacity this time. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
they are really, really talented.
Yeah, I mean that's no surprise though. I mean, it's Alabama.
Yeah, Tom, this is kind of what Nick Saban was hinting at, though,
right,
and Dabo Swinney as well. We've talked about this over the past few weeks about sort of the concerns of the transfer portal, is because it's like, yeah, this is great, but do remember that this rule also applies to us. And sure, I am very much so paraphrasing for Nick Saban. He didn't go that braggadocious in the way he brought this up. But it's like, yeah, if you put a new rule in place, the best schools are going to find a way to make it an advantage for them too. Yep. And sure, that's exactly what you're seeing take place.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's saying. You know, this transfer portal is not going to hurt us, meaning Alabama, not going to hurt us in any way. It's going to benefit us because we're a top program.
Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna lose some guys to the transfer portal, but we're also going to be bringing in top guys because, obviously, you're seeing top athletes at top schools leaving those top schools to go to Alabama. You're also seeing guys like at Louisville who, you're not going to win a national championship at Louisville. And if you are a star player at Louisville, you have the chance to move somewhere else. So where are you going to go? Why not go to Alabama if they offer it? And it's the same thing with the NIL stuff. The NIL is just going to benefit those bigger schools. It's going to benefit the other schools as well, but, you know, the bigger schools are going to be able to offer more opportunities in the NIL. They're going to be able to offer more playing opportunity for these star players in the portal. So, yeah, I mean, Nick Saban was right. It's not going to hurt them in any sort of way whatsoever. In fact, it could benefit them, make them even stronger. And you look at what they could potentially be putting on the field next year, and the transfer portal may have made them stronger. But it also goes across other sports. And you look at basketball right now. I mean, Auburn is benefiting from transfer portal stuff. Traore was not necessarily a transfer portal, but it was a guy that had been committed to LSU. I guess that goes on a different tangent, but you look at the guys that Auburn brought in last year off the transfer portal that were big-time players. I mean, Walker Kessler is a one-and-done who transferred from UNC. All these other guys that transfer here. So that benefits Auburn in that as well. So, yeah, the benefit, it's more of a benefit for those top teams than it is a negative. Where it's a negative is the small programs that they have one superstar. They're already struggling to be a championship caliber team. They get one big time superstar player on their team, and then he's gone immediately for greener pastures. So it's very detrimental to the smaller guys.
We will see how football comes to be for these teams now that spring season is coming to a close. And now that we've entered this portion, a lot of people were kind of looking at the calendar. It seems as though we'll see more transfer portal spots now that we're in the summer portion of the calendar before you get into the fall camps and that sort of thing. And teams are definitely going to look to make adjustments to their roster. I keep trying to reference the story that you first brought up on the program, Ryan, and yet every time I do, I don't do it as well because you remember the details much better than I do. But some of those non-Power 5 student-athletes that are looking for that next spot, there was a UAB linebacker, I believe, in particular. Yep. They're finding out it can be quite negative. Tell people what we're talking about here.
Yeah, no, that particular story, to reference that, was a linebacker that went into the portal. He thought, he was an established player at UAB, had like 100 tackles 1 year, all-conference USA, second team, and then got in the portal, immediately got some bites from like Louisville and a couple other schools, middle to lower Power 5, and went on a visit and said, I'm just going to let the visits flow in. I'm just going to see who all calls. Well, a week goes by, and Louisville gets Momo Sanogo from Ole Miss. And the other school, I think it was like Kansas State or Arizona State, filled their position. And somebody else asked him, why didn't you just take the Louisville offer after you visited there? And so all of a sudden, now no Power 5 schools had slots for him. And so now the only calls he's getting is from like ULM and Arkansas State, schools like that, that are actually below UAB. Yeah. All of a sudden he was getting next to nothing because people looked at him like, oh, there must be something wrong because Louisville didn't end up taking him after he visited there he didn't go there and all that. So it's almost like the same dynamic for him and his situation of somebody falling on draft day. This guy's supposed to go in the top 10. All of a sudden, it's pick 17. And what's going on? Is there a late medical report? Is there a character issue here that no one really knew about? And all of a sudden, you just like looks like damaged goods, and no one wants to touch the guy. And so I saw something actually today along these lines that I'm going to misquote the stat, but it was essentially it was around 60% of the scholarships that go out of the portal get filled, or in other words, of the players that leave the portal or get into the portal, only 60% leave the portal with a scholarship, if that makes sense. So in other words, 40% of the guys that get in the portal that are on scholarship don't get that scholarship back. They don't find a scholarship elsewhere. They're not able to come back to their school with a scholarship. And that's pretty stunning. I mean, that's almost half. And it goes to show you that there's some guys that just have to show some patience, I guess, because, I mean, it's every single school, all these positions, all these situations, and the grass ain't always greener. It's not. And there's plenty of success stories, and there will always be success stories. But the failures here need to be mentioned, too, because kids are going to make bad decisions because they say, well, 1,500 guys got in the portal. I need to be one of them. I ain't that happy. I'm not happy enough to stay here. It's not about that. You know, there's lessons to be learned from pushing through. And I'm not trying to be some old school guy that thinks, you know, just no one should ever transfer and you should be penalized if you do. But there's situations that some kids need to fight through because they're not always going to be able just to transfer on to the next thing and have it be as good of a thing as what they was. Sometimes you lose track that you have a pretty good thing going.
Anything you want to add, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head, man. It's made it way too easy for the kids to transfer. I do agree that they need to have options, but, you know, there is no thought of, well, you don't have to sit out a year now, so it just makes it much easier for you to just say, hey, I'm just going to try my luck somewhere else. And you kind of have to wonder what that's teaching kids, you know, at that age. You know, if something isn't working, just, you know, go to the next thing. I mean, listen, if you're not playing at Alabama, then I heard Nick Saban say this. He was like, "We nobody's left Alabama and went on somewhere and just become some great player." Right? I mean, if you can't play here, then maybe you just can't play. You know, so, but there's something to be said about sticking it out, man, but I don't know. I mean, 60%.
It hurts kind of because it's Alabama, but that's so true. Yeah. You know, it's like, so, I mean,
the was the best one to leave Talia?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And he's just decent. I mean, he's not like he's.
And you'd still rather have Bryce Young as your quarterback. Oh, yeah. It's not like you're sitting there saying, man, we wish Talia was here. Yeah. Speaking of which, we're talking about the transfer portal stuff. Some news from over the weekend. Auburn had Brandley Huntley Hatfield in the mix. Tennessee transfer on the basketball floor. He ends up committing to Louisville. He will not be an Auburn Tiger. Jamal Johnson played for Auburn for a couple of seasons. A three-point shooter out of the Birmingham area. Was high school teammates with Austin Wiley. Had started his college career at Memphis. Transferred to Auburn. Transferred to UAB. And this weekend he announced his final year of eligibility granted by COVID-19. He's going to spend at Chattanooga. So
he's still got eligibility.
He's got 1 year left, and he will play for his fourth different basketball team there. I want to end our time with Eric McDade talking about this a little bit. I mentioned spring football. Most of the games came to a close this past weekend. Just a handful of SEC games and then several Pac-12 spring games, including Oregon, where the headlines of OregonLive.com, James Crapia, who covered the Auburn Tigers for so many years, saying Bo Nix outperformed his fellow quarterbacks during Oregon's spring game. The Auburn transfer went 8 of 15 for 230 yards with 3 touchdowns and an interception, compared to 5-star freshman Ty Thompson, who had been taking some first-team reps. Ty Thompson went 168 yards with a touchdown and 2 interceptions. So Bo Nix threw for more yards, more touchdowns, and fewer interceptions in what's going to be a quarterback battle. I'm sure that people are talking about going into the offseason, but I know that I knew Bo Nix would succeed at Oregon, and I know that he's going to have a standout year. Were you surprised by that headline?
No, not at all. I think Bo Nix is going to be really solid at Oregon. Fresh start for him. going to a conference where they don't play as much defense, I think he's going to be really successful. This is the year.
That's awesome. Oregon accounts running with the this is the year.
Some say he's focused. Yeah.
Having fun.
I'm telling you.
What did you think of the stats that came out with Bo Nix?
Well, yeah, 8 completions for 230. Is he just chucking all deep balls? Yeah. I mean, you know, because if you were nitpicking, it's like, well, 8 of 15 is not like special, but 230 yards, it's freaking pretty good. And especially if Thompson's throwing a couple picks. And I had seen that they were splitting first team reps. I mentioned that a week or so ago. So, you know, I mean, again, that's a glorified practice. It's one snapshot of what's been going on in the spring. It's the most public form, so that's what we have to go off of. But if Thompson goes out and beats Bo in 4 out of 5 practices, and that's just the one that he didn't, then we're all going to just assume that it's over and done with now. But, you know, I think Bo would definitely have the inside track, just being a more experienced player, given that Thompson is a true freshman, given that their first opponent is a team that Bo Nix has seen 3 times in his college career, playing Georgia from the get-go. So you'd think Bo would get the first shot at it there. But, you know, every coach makes different decisions. If Thompson just looks special, we've seen more and more over the last decade or so of guys that have been freshmen and been unfazed and played really good football from the get-go of their career. So it's a tough race when you got a 5-star coming in, because look, by the same admission, I say you think you just go with the experienced guy and Thompson's a freshman and all that. Well, these freshmen transfer on you. Because yeah. Quinn Ewers arrived at Ohio State early and then only gave them 1 year and saw C.J. Stroud was really good and said, nope, I'm out. Going to Texas. So I say you let the experienced guy, but, I mean, you can't lose a 5-star that you might have 3 or 4 years just because somebody is getting a job just because he's played it to, like the reason I just gave. So really I gave poor reason. You just got to go with the best guy, because in the age of the portal and everything, you're always recruiting your own players as much as you're recruiting high school guys and that sort of thing.
Do you think it's going to be Bo Nix?
I would still stake the claim that yes, it will be Bo. But
definitely be Bo Nix, yeah.
But like, who knows how long the leash is? Who knows how, you know, Bo plays well, obviously there doesn't need to be a leash. He'll be the guy all year, but again, you have to pick the right one, because a quarterback especially, you can split reps with running backs and wide receivers. You can get this running back 15 carries, this one 10, this one 5. You can get all these other guys in games for a few snaps at a time. Well, you can't play 2 quarterbacks very often, and especially not if your number one guy can run a little bit, because then you have a thrower and a runner, but I mean, it's hard to play 2 quarterbacks.
This could not be more perfect timing here. As I'm seeing a tweet from On3 Sports that just came across, Alabama transfer tight end Caden Clark announced on social media Monday that he'll transfer to Ohio.
The Bobcats.
From the Alabama
Crimson Tide. Not the Ohio State, just to Ohio.
The Ohio Bobcats. The former 4-star prospect makes the second tight end to transfer out of Alabama this offseason following Jahlil Billingsley. Where did Billingsley end up?
Did he go to Texas?
Do we know?
Texas sounds familiar. I know at least one Bama guy went to Texas, if not 2, because of that
Texas
coaching
staff. Exactly right.
Texas.
You're exactly right. Ryan and Tom, this was your first time hanging and covering the bases with Eric. Did we do okay covering the bases with Eric McDay State Farm today?
I think we covered a lot of bases.
We covered a lot of bases, yeah.
The bases.
Yeah, we did.
We covered more bases than we did with the Thunder Chickens.
No. He brought it back full circle. That one hurt. We got to see you here again in a couple of weeks. We're not going to make it as long before your next visit back, okay?
Yeah, we'll be back soon.
All right.
Sure.
Eric, tell us one more time, drivewitheric.com. Give us the sales pitch, yeah, so to speak, for Eric McDade State Farm.
Drivewitheric.com. Hey, my work speaks for itself. Y'all call me 334-759-7431. You want an auto or home quote? Be happy to do that for you. We're looking out for you. We're covering the bases on your insurance, too. So
heck yeah. That's what we like to hear.